This is
What's going on, people? It's your boy Izzy, and this is the Taz and Izzy show. Unfortunately, there is no Taz, as he's been caught up in some other business and he had to prioritize that. But nevertheless, we still have an amazing guest. But a quick disclaimer, this episode is very business orientated. So to any of you business icons or business wannabes, this is the episode for you. And with that said, let me introduce our guest. He is a business man, former head boy. His business hosted Charlie Sloth's leaving party. He's interviewed celebrities like Craig David and a bunch of others. It's the one and only Josh Robinson.
How are you doing, my guy? I'm very well, thank you. I'm really happy to be here and be speaking with you today.
Perfect, perfect. Just quickly, would you like to let the people know who you are, what you do, where you come from, all of that?
Of course. So my name's Josh Robinson. I run a music business called LMS UK Media. I now live in Portsmouth in Southsea, and I'm now based here. And yeah, that's the lowdown of me, really.
Nice, nice, nice. So obviously, the main reason why you're here is because you do indeed own your own business at the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
But this started before.
Yeah, this started when I just turned 18 when we began this.
Wow. So quickly, what is LMS UK Media?
So we're an events company. We put on music shows, but we also do music promotion as well. So we have a lot of big clients in London and we run their social media. We promote their events as well as ours.
Nice, nice. And how did the idea of this first conjure up?
So I used to run a different business while I was at college called Angel Clothing.
Nice.
With a business partner. And it went really, really well and I learned a lot of things, but I'm a bit of a control freak in business.
Mm.
I want to be involved with every part and I want to have my say in it.
Mm.
And when you're working as a partnership, it was tricky to do that. So at that point, I took a step back from that business, left, and started up LMS UK Media. And we started really, we called ourselves Local Music Scene.
Okay.
And we wanted to give talented local artists the same promotion and, you know, good quality photos and good quality videos as the big boys in the industry, really.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So since the inception of the business, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced at the start?
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
Really?
You are literally just jumping in the dark and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, we did one show, which went really, really well, our first ever show. And then after that, there's probably 5 or 6 events where I promise you there was more people on stage than there was in the audience.
Oh, no.
And that is a horrible feeling.
Oh, no.
Horrible feeling.
5 to 6 of them, you say?
Yeah, easily. And at that point, it's almost like the people that are closest to you were telling you to stop. So like family or close friends were like, Josh, why are you doing this? Like, it's not working. You'll be successful, but it's something else. But at that point, I was so set on achieving something in this industry.
Mm.
I wasn't going to give up with that.
Mm.
And you know, the years went past and we built up and up, and nowadays we're doing really, really well.
I love that, because obviously it must be hard to still be motivated when like the audience isn't doing that well in terms of like how many people come to the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you still keep motivated to keep on going?
For me, it was, I had something to prove more than anything. I think when you all like, I remember saying to my mates after a few, there's no one there. And I was like, oh, come to the next show. And I was just getting ripped in the group chat. Just close friends of mine, still friends of them now, just like, what are you doing? Like, no one's going to pay a fiver to come, like all this. And, I just had a point to prove that if I put my mind to something, I could make it happen. So even in those times when people were like, give up, I had a vision and other people at that point hadn't bought into that vision yet. But I was just so set on it.
I respect that. So I read somewhere that 20% of small businesses fail in their first year and 50% fail in their fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
So like reading those stats, how do you think you can survive?
So we've done things a little bit differently. So obviously me and my staff work part-time at the moment,
okay,
doing this, which just keeps costs really low. So we've had, luckily, 3 or 4 years while we're still at university, or we're still, you know, doing our own thing a little bit, that the costs are so low, you can't really go bankrupt, you can't really do it wrong. So in this 4 years, what we've had time to do is we've had time to get the contacts, get the experience, go to shows, meet people, and gather all that in 4 years. Most businesses don't get that opportunity.
Yeah.
They'll have £100,000 invested, and that's it, go.
Okay.
And then you're kind of like, oh, right, I'm out on my own here. Whereas we've had all this time to build up and up and up. And we've got a plan in 2022 for me and all my staff to go full time with this.
Okay.
And we've got the investment for that. And at that point, I would be confident, having this experience, that we would make it after that point.
I see. I love that, because it seems like patience was the main thing here to keep yourself grounded. Because I feel like a lot of these small businesses at the start, they get excited and they're like, okay, let's go, without thinking about the years of setup that is needed.
Yeah.
So would you say that it was patience that really 100% helped you?
100%. And it's funny, because I'm not a very patient person. I'm very impatient.
Yeah.
For sure. But having this time where, you know, I'm still studying as well. I've got my staff who also work for other employers as well, part-time. That all of us love this, and this is what we want to do as a career in the future, but we haven't been rushed. We haven't been, right, go out and do it now. And we've had, like you said, that patience and that time to build it up and up. So when we do go full time with it, I would be confident in myself and my team that we would survive.
I love that. See, the way that you talk, you do sound like someone who's not a student. I feel like people would probably forget that you are only 21 years old. And saying that, how do you balance being a university student and also managing a business on the side?
It's going to sound really, really bad, but my business is my priority.
Wow.
Always, always. Studying comes second for me, and my parents would hate me.
I was about to say, the parents must not be happy with that.
Not at all. But, I mean, I'm quite bad for it, because when I'm in lectures, or, you know, my phone is going off
from
6 in the morning. My staff, if you ask them, I've called them at like 5 in the morning before.
Wow.
I need this done, need it now. Or like on a night out, like occasionally when I'm trying to let my hair down, I'm still getting messages. I've got to reply to them. Like, it doesn't stop. It's ruthless. Wow. So if I'm in a lecture and something needs to be done, I'm on my laptop and I'm doing LMS work.
Okay.
That takes my priority.
Okay.
The only good thing about it is obviously running your own business is always going to help my studying, because I study business.
Okay.
So things with like finance, I got a first in last year because I do it.
Yeah, because you know what's going on.
Yeah, you know it. I've got the experience of doing that. So they do complement each other really, really well. That's the positive thing with it. But yeah, I have to say business priority. Yeah, I have to say.
Do you know why I respect that? Because normally people would drop out of uni to focus on the business.
Yeah.
But you've managed to kind of juggle both of them and use them as assets to work with each other.
Yeah, 100%. And I have to say, the main reason that's been successful so far is because of my staff.
Wow.
Because I'm not going to sit here and take credit for it. I have a fantastic team behind me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if something needs to be done, they'll get it done. So,
I love that. So, obviously, like you said, your staff is playing a huge role in the success of your business. How important would you say that they are?
Oh, massively.
Yeah.
It could not run, it could not be this big, it could not be this successful without my staff. And I get, you know, occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally people come up and be like, congratulations, or well done, and all this. And I will never ever stand there and take credit for it. I will always be like, go thank my team. Charlie's over there, go thank him. Or we're at an event, I'll be like, oh, no, Reese came up with these graphics. Go tell them how great they are. Because I don't want the credit for it, because it's not me. I have a vision and an idea of what we want to do, and then my team are the ones that go, right, this is how we're going to do it, build it up and up and up.
Nice, man.
So I would never, ever want to take the credit away from them, because my team are everything to the business.
Yeah.
Everything you see, everything you come to, everything is my team.
Right.
So, yeah.
I love that. And how many are on your staff?
We have 5 core staff members, and we have 15 street team.
I see. So obviously, there's a hierarchy with your staff. How do you make sure, as the business owner, that everyone is equally valued and that there's no animosity between different people?
It's good. It's easy to do that in a small business, in my opinion.
Okay.
So everyone has their role. So if I know I need a graphic made, that's down to Reese.
Yeah.
If it's something operational, I'll go to my manager, Charlie.
Yeah.
And Charlie kind of oversees everything we do, and he'll do the day-to-day very well. He's very good at organisation, very good at doing things the right way and the professional way. And he's brilliant at that. So in terms of making people feel valued, there's no competition with something. Mm. If I know I need photography done, I have one photographer, okay, go to them. It's like that. And I think, I would hope if you asked any of my staff, they'd all feel very appreciated. I make sure that they're, you know, we pay them a fair amount.
Yeah.
They're not in this for the money, which I love, but we pay them a good amount. I say, well done, thank you. Like, I make sure they're really known how important it is to me, because they are. That's not, you know, that's not a lie. They are so crucial, every single one of them, into making it tick. And the thing is with staff, and you hear a lot of business entrepreneurs saying, it's easy to replace people, it's easy to replace people. Yeah, maybe, but these are the people I have a relationship with. They know how I work, I know how they work. And that's really hard to replace. And I wouldn't ever want to do that. And it's happened in the past, and don't get me wrong, you get over that challenge. But my staff now, the five I have, are fantastic. I haven't got a bad word to say against them.
Wow, that's amazing. What is the ages of the staff?
Same as me. They're all 20 to 23.
Okay, so young people. So it's quite easy to manage then, because you can relate with them.
Yeah.
But I assume that when you do expand in the future and you might get some older people on, how do you think that you can combat the kind of ageism that might happen?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I am currently on placement in a recruitment company, and I run their marketing department with a couple of us. And obviously that's complete mixed range.
Yeah.
I've also done work experience at Candy King, who do the sweets and the cinemas in like five countries.
Okay.
I've also done work experience all over the time. Yeah. So I've probably done about four or five times now. And obviously at that age group, you're the youngest.
Yeah.
And everyone else is the older. And you just find common ground and how they work. And you've got to make sure the thing that I've learned the most is they enjoy work.
Right.
So you get people who come to the office, do a 9-to-5 job. They hate it. They're there. They're typing away.
Yeah.
And they're not enjoying life.
Yeah.
So the main thing I've realised is, no matter how old you are, you want to come in. And I want my staff coming to buzz in. You know, some days are going to be hard, some days are going to be great. But with LMS UK Media, no day is going to be the same. You see people come to work making 500 calls a day. It's never going to be like that working for us.
Okay.
So
something different.
Yeah, exactly. And I think at any age, I think that's relevant. I think you should enjoy work, whether you're
100%.
You know, 25 or 45.
100%, 100%. So what is the recruitment process like for someone like you?
We're very blessed, because I went to Havant and South Downs College, and then I went to Portsmouth University of Portsmouth, both of which have been fantastic with me. I kind of, the second I arrived at both, was banging on the door saying, right, I've got a business, how are you going to help me? How can I get support? I think a lot of people come and they're a bit shy and a bit intimidated by it all. First day, I think I went to, wrote a few emails, made a few calls. Someone said to me, oh, we've got this where we meet business students, help them start up. I came in, was like, I'm already set up, how can you help me? This is my situation. How can you support me? How can I support you? And they've been brilliant, because in the recruitment process, I've got university around me.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of businesses don't take the risk with university students, because university students are fantastic if you find the right one.
They're
passionate and they're hungry and they've got everything ahead of them. And I'll try and explain to them, say it's a journalist. You can go work for your local paper, you can do this, you can do that. Okay, fair enough. And you probably achieve quite well. Or you can come to my business and make a huge impact. No one's going to be telling you what to do every single day. You go out and show me what you can do. And I think we relate to a lot of students like that, and that's how we find success.
I love that. I love that. But then on the flip side, how would you deal with someone who isn't performing up to the standard that you want them to perform?
It's happened before.
Okay.
It's happened on many occasions. And obviously my manager, Charlie, me and him will sit down. We'll talk about how we're going to deal with the situation.
Yeah.
You normally just sit there, and I would never ever write an email or text. I want to see them in person. I'll go and see them and say, look, this is the situation we're in. I don't feel like you're performing up to the standard we'd like. These are the examples. These are the tools you need. I'm not going to sit there and shout and scream. You're not going to get anywhere by doing that. So I'll just sit there and, like, this is what we need. This is what we want.
Yeah.
Here are the tools to do it.
Yeah.
If you need support, you've got myself, you've got Charlie, relevant contact, relevant support basis, and do it. And if they're still not motivated and they're still not reaching after that, then we have discussions about replacing them.
Okay.
But so they have the warnings. They have everything.
So you show them essentially how to fulfill the target. You give them the tools and the resources available.
So there's no excuse.
Okay, I see. And to anyone listening out there who is looking for a job, in your company? What is it that they need to bring to the table to even be considered as a prospect?
To be considered, they've got to be music lovers. They've got to be, they've got to love what we do, because with LMS UK Media, it's almost like a little family. And it doesn't matter what kind of music you like, but you have to be a music fan. You've got to enjoy live music. You've got to enjoy festivals, enjoy doing that. And if you don't, we're not really the business for you. Okay. This is the industry we work in. So that would be the first thing. We're also very specific. So if we're looking for a marketing expert, we love IT and marketing people, because it means we can always grow our business.
Of course.
So if you are in those two roles and you do enjoy music, the first thing I'll say is come and have a chat. You know, come, you know, email us, message me, whatever you need to do, and come and have a chat. We can just discuss what we love, what you do, what I do, and just see if it works and go from there. Because if it does, you know, with the B2B side with us, there's always expanding. There's always room for people to come in if they fit the role.
I see. On the topic of expanding, how do you hope to kind of deal with the difficulties that will come with in the future?
I have brilliant mentors. So when I'm on placement and I'm with people there who've started from scratch and they're, you know, running, you know, £80 million businesses now, I've always got someone to go to or speak to about expansion. We have a plan ourselves, so we've got a 2022 plan to go full time. It's got a lot of details in terms of financial, how we're going to do our strategy, targets, to kind of cope with that. So it's not something that we're just going to kind of, oh, when it happens, it happens. It is planned, it is thought through. And that is due to the experience we have over the last 4 years.
Okay, so in terms of your targets now, though, currently, on the financial side of things, do you feel like you're hitting them, or do you think you're lacking a little bit?
So this year, 2019, has really been about, for us, getting in their reports of Guildhall, doing a good job, filling that room. We haven't been as financial focused as we have in previous years. So when me and my team sat down to do a wrap-up of this year, and we're looking at 2020 this year, we're looking definitely at finances a lot stronger.
Okay.
If we're going to hit our plans, we're going to do that. In terms of this year, we've done well. We've done what we've needed to do. And we're going to have a real financial focus next year.
I see. So from now until 2022, with your main plan that's going to be rolled out, what areas do you think need a massive work on?
We need to work on... We're in a very blessed situation now, because every business owner wants demand. And that's the hardest thing when starting up your own business is sales. Whereas now we've built that up, we've got that, and we've actually got too much demand to cope. So it actually is the recruitment process, finding the right people who can come in, do the job, know what they're doing, get trained, and stay motivated. Because we've brought in people before, they've been brilliant, but they've only stayed 6 months.
Wow.
This is something we want, long term people, people who don't want to work a 9-to-5, they don't want to, you know, work for boss man, they want to go and achieve something. That's what we want, that's what we look for. And they want to be here in 10, 15, 20 years' time. And that's the hardest thing, finding people to meet demand, train them, and get them on and rolled out quickly. But at the same time, it has to be up to a very high quality. It's no point rushing and it being terrible.
Okay. So then, taking a business into the future, what is your vision?
Our vision. So we want to grow our B2B, our business to business, which is doing really well. This lays for us the standpoint of finances. It's regular income, you know it's coming in, they want long-term contracts, and it's stability. Whereas the events, the music businesses, where you see repeatedly with local promoters, or, you know, even regional, national promoters, is your cash flow is so up and down. And as a business, you can't really run like that. So we want to get our B2B up to a really high standard where we know, you know, the bills are paid, we're happy, we're good, and then we can really roll out with bigger events. At the moment, we're doing anything between 200 and 800 capacity. Our next big goal is to sell out Portsmouth Guildhall Main Room, which is a huge venue, 2,500 people. People don't realise the scale of that, and you need a big artist to come and fill that room up.
2,500?
But I've always... As an entrepreneur, I hit one goal, it's on to the next one, hit one goal, it's on to the next one, hit one, it's on to the next one. And when I do these talks in front of college students and stuff, you know, and you say, if you've got any questions at the end, 30 hands come up, and it's always about money. Finance, finance, finance. And I've just said to them, and my boss on placement said to me, he was just like, you cannot go into a business that just makes money. If your business only makes money, it's a terrible business.
Really?
Terrible. You know, I know people now who run their own business and they hate it. So they're making money.
It's a common misconception that money equals happiness.
No, yeah, 100%. Do something you love. Do something you enjoy. Because when you start up your business, the chance of you making any money within a couple of years is basically very small.
Okay.
Realistically.
Yeah.
If you think, oh, I'm going to buy a house, you know, after 2 years doing this, you're in dreamland. It's not going to happen. So you've got to do what you love, and the money will come eventually, and it will get there, and the incomes will get bigger. And it's like, make your first £100, then make your first £1,000, then £10,000, then £100,000, and then £1,000,000, and work up. That's how I see it.
I agree.
So when these kids come to me, I want to start my, you know, t-shirt business, and I want to make this. I want to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Break it down. Have steps. Have small goals you want to achieve, and build it up and up. And that's what we've done, and that's why we've got to where we are now, and that's what we'll continue to do.
That's amazing, because I actually resonate with what you said, because there's a lot of kids out there who say, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a billionaire. But then in my head, I'm thinking, do you really want to be a millionaire? Do you know what that comes with?
Mm-hmm.
It comes with sacrifice, it comes with compromise, it comes with patience. And I don't think these kids, sometimes even students, I don't think that they know that, because they just assume that it's from 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go for the in-betweens.
If I speak to any well-off business owner, they are the hardest working people I know.
Mm.
And you don't see that, because you see the Instagrams of them on holiday with nice cars and with this. Like you just said, they wake up 5:30, 6 every morning.
Wow.
They're up, they're at it. Before you even got up, they've done 2-3 hours of work.
Wow.
People don't realise the sacrifice. The last thing they're doing before their bed, they're working. And I've been lucky enough to see this firsthand, and that motivates me.
Definitely.
So if I have a day where I don't feel like I've done enough, or I haven't achieved, I don't feel good. And to be honest, I genuinely, and I mean this, and not like an arrogant way, but I really, I find it unbelievable how people can, let's say, work at Tesco's their whole life, right? And if they're happy and they're satisfied, I envy you. I genuinely envy you, because I have just been built with this, you know, this mindset of, if you're not achieving, you're not happy.
Wow.
So if I'm not achieving a goal, I'm down here.
Yeah.
If I've sold out an event, I'm up here.
Wow.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I envy people that can do that and be happy with their life. I'm not one of those
people.
That's
just not you.
No, not at all.
Wow. And do you have any advice to those kids and to those students who, they want the high life, but they don't know what that comes with?
Yeah, it's, first things first, find your passion. Find what you love doing. Because if you're going to work this hard and you're going to work the hours that, you know, the successful people work, you've got to love what you do.
Love what you do.
And you can't be money motivated. You've got to do something you want, and you have a vision for, and you have goals for. And then after that point, it is just determination and getting good people around you. If I'm at a backstage at a festival, I'm getting emails, contacts, numbers, security, or like sound engineers, or like the manager of the Killers. It doesn't matter who it is.
Mm.
I'm getting that contact, getting that network, because, you know, in an industry like this, people know people.
It's
and
true.
It doesn't matter if you're at the bottom or you're at the top.
Mm.
I will try and get their contact details, and it comes in handy. People see the passion I have for business, and oh, I've got a friend who, you know, DJs in London, get in contact with him. And you never know what's going to come from that.
I agree. I feel like in the music industry and in your industry, it is a lot about who you know, rather than what you know sometimes. Because who you know can get you into places that the what you know can't. So I think that's
massively
amazing that you said that.
But, you know, it's so true. But don't use it as an excuse when you're starting up. Oh, I don't know this person. I don't know this person. Go then. Just I used to go to shows. I never used to have backstage passes. I turn up with a camera, you know, talk trash. Oh, yeah, we know this person. Making up names.
Yeah.
Try and sneak in. And some of our best stuff has been from that. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
So
it's about putting yourself in those positions.
Yeah, I love just seeing how far I can push the line. I love doing that, and I always have. But obviously nowadays we get press at all the big festivals and shows, and it's blessed, but... Yeah, when you're starting out, you've got, you know, if they give you an inch, take a mile.
Take it.
Yeah.
Take it, man. I love that. Going back to your business, what countries do you hope to operate in the future?
So, like I said, we have goals that we want to do. Obviously, we want to crack the UK. It's very hard at the moment to become, you know, so many people are a local promoter and they're there for 34 years.
Yeah.
Some break into regional promoter, but the gap between regional promoter and national promoter is so small. Maybe yeah. three or four, you know, big boys do it. I want to come in there and I want to take them. Wow. I want to be in there and I want to take their market. I want them cursing LMSU UK Media name because wow. I won their competition. So first and foremost, I want to do the UK, get that ticked off, compete with the big boys. I want to show them that, you know, some, you know, scrawny lads who had a vision at 18 years old really make an impact on that industry. And I think we can. We do things differently from them. Crack the UK, and then, you know, the world's our oyster. Yeah. You never know what's going to come. We've done yeah. some stuff abroad. We've done stuff in Paris before. We've
nice.
Done, you know, and Holland as well. Those opportunities come, and they're nice. But, yeah, there's enough money, and there's enough of a market to do in UK. So okay. we'll crack
that's your
first.
Focus right now?
Yeah, 100%.
I hear that. And then, with that, do you have any dream businesses or business people or celebrities that you'd love to work with?
Huge. I mean, you know, as a teenager going to like Isle of Wight Festival, Reading Festival, and you see like Arctic Monkeys or Drake huge acts, you know, you love to do that. I'd love to be able to work with them, put on a show with them. But I'm also a realist. Like, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes.
So yeah, like, I feel that as well.
Yeah, so like, you know, you don't know how they're going to be. They might have a bad day.
They might disappoint you.
I'm not going to name names, but I interviewed one artist who I absolutely loved, and I thought she was going to be great and stuff, and she was really rude.
Oh, no. Really change your whole mindset on her.
I don't think I've listened to their music since. I genuinely don't. And that was like top favourite of me. So I'm quite a realist like that. Yeah, but
you've got to be.
Yeah, you'd love to put on, like, you know, a huge act on a huge stage and just sit by the side and be like, wow, this is something we've done, I think.
But I'm sure that's part of the vision.
Definitely. And we're speaking to a couple now who are absolutely, you know, if you would have told me 3 years ago, I'm even emailing their manager about the show, I'd have told you to get out of the room.
Really?
Shut up. So, you know, we're in a very blessed situation and we need to grab it with two hands.
Love that. And what does success look like for your company?
For me, personally, it's having the staff that have stayed loyal for me from day one when everyone was telling me to stop it and go down. I want them on incredible wages, on them coming to work, enjoying life, and I'm happy. I've got a house.
That's your success?
Yeah, for a personal goal, that's me at success.
Wow.
I've got a car, I've got a house, I don't need money to be happy.
That's not your typical answer, no, which is good to hear.
I don't care about that. I think if I can successfully say that my business is making a huge impact and my staff are happy, they've stayed loyal with me, that's success.
That's enough for you.
In terms of a business goal, what is success? It's in stages. Like, next goal, we'd love to start Portsmouth Guild Tour.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say all my steps after that, but believe me, they're there. but I also kind of think you never really want to reach your end goal, because if you ever reach that, your motivation's gone. You're done. Like, there's nothing else to achieve. And I read something really nice from an entrepreneur saying how he has goals in 10 years' time, and then when he's 10 years older and he gets there, he's got another goal in 10 years. So you never hit that, but it's okay to not hit that.
Because you keep on striving towards something.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so we've heard a lot about the business and how well it's doing and your kind of ideas on it. But now let's meet the man behind the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that money isn't one of your main motivators for life.
Not at all.
So then what is, well, like, what drives you to wake up every morning?
What drives me to wake up every morning is, like I said, my personal goal with my staff, but as well, like, I can't tell you the feeling I have when I'm at an event and the artist's enjoying it, and as a promoter, I'm working with artists, and you see this all the time, they're told this, 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 and this, and it's very structured, it's almost cemented. For me, I get the artists in, and I talk to them, what do you want? What makes a good show for you? What do you want from us? And I want to get to know that person behind the songs.
I see.
What do you want from your set? You know, and find out what is an achievement from them. And that means when you go to an event and it all comes together and you've got a full crowd and you look up and the artist is having an unbelievable time. For me, that feeling I have, I can't, you know, it never lasts more than maybe a couple of hours, but you're just on planet nine. You know, it is an unbelievable feeling, and like, only comes around very often, but it gets me up.
Those moments,
And, you know, running a business is hard. Like, there are some days where you want to crawl up in a show and you do not want to, you know, face the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, my little secret is motivational speech. I put it on, It reminds me, this is what I came up to do.
Yeah.
Get up, go face it. Tomorrow's a new day.
Nice.
And get stuff done. So,
nice.
For sure, yeah.
All right. So then, with that, obviously you're a very busy man.
Mm-hmm.
Are you currently in a relationship?
Currently, yes. Basically, she's not officially my girlfriend, right. But...
There's a little something going on.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So with that, I was going to ask, do you feel like your business might get in the way of any romantic relationship progressing?
It has done in the past, okay. I have to say. So in a previous relationship, massively.
I can imagine.
So...
Because you're young at the same time. And
yeah, like, you just start becoming an adult and, like, you know, these things kind of happen at once.
Yeah.
And previous relationships... they're not support. Mm. So, you know, they're going, oh, it's very nice what you do, but they don't believe what you're doing. They don't believe what you set out to do. They don't support that. So going forward with anything in terms of a personal relationship in the future, you know, that person has to understand that, you know, my life revolves around this.
Yeah.
And it's what I've started from scratch. Wow. It's my... you know, it is my baby. It's like
it is who you are. Yeah.
Massively. And I think it's hard sometimes for, you know, your significant other half to realise how much time and effort is devoted to this.
Yeah.
And if they can work around that and they can support what you do, then that's really appreciated for me.
Mm.
So the little time I have with them each week, I try and make a special, make a real effort for. Because I'm also one of those people, if you're going to do something, do the best you can.
Mm.
You know, if I'm having I'm very competitive. So if I'm doing a board game or... I'm playing football or whatever it is, I just want to win. So like, if I'm playing Monopoly, I'm not flipping the board over. Like, I'm just very, I'm always want to do the best I can. So if they can appreciate that and they can understand that, then it's absolutely fine.
I absolutely resonate with that. I think in relationships, one of the main signs of love is that you want to be a servant to them. And like that goes both ways. So you want to serve them to see them happy in whatever form that looks like. So for you, it'd be your significant other supporting you in your business and not letting that be the detriment to her unhappiness.
No.
And vice versa.
Absolutely.
So I like that you both lift each other up.
Yeah, and you've got to communicate that from the start.
Which, yeah, that's important.
Like, if you just pounce that on them, then they're a bit like, well, no, taken back by it. But, you know, at the start, you make them aware of what you do and what you love doing. And like you just said, like, it's important that you're there for them as well. It is vice versa. It's, you know, it takes two to tango. So
it's amazing. So obviously we only have a couple of minutes left, but a way that I normally end the podcast is I ask the guest, in 10 years' time, provided everything goes right, where do you see yourself?
I will make sure everything goes right. That's the first thing first. It doesn't matter to me what challenges we face. We'll overcome them. So I could go bankrupt tomorrow.
Yeah.
And LMS UK Media will still be a thing. We'll still be having on events. Okay. So, you know, I'd never ever use an excuse of what if. No, we'll make the best of that situation. Mm. In 10 years' time, I'd love to have our own offices. I'd love to have a strong team of 20 to 30 employees.
Yeah.
And I'd love to be doing UK tours and really, amazing. By a 10-year period, we want to be competing with the big boys. And I think a lot of the music industry needs someone to come in and shake it up and turn things upside down.
Yeah.
And I really think we're that. Because at the moment, you go to a show to see the artist. You don't know the promoter. You don't know if it's, you know, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, some of the big boys.
Yeah.
Whereas for us... it is about the artist, and that's the focus. That's why you're going to the show. But why not have that added value with it?
Yeah.
They're charging excessive amounts plus ticket fees, and you go, and they're not doing anything for you.
Mm.
I would hope at my show, at least one or two members of staff come up to you and ask you how your evening is. They welcome you when you come in. We give freebies.
Mm.
You know, we make sure the service is exceptional, and we care about every single customer.
It has to be.
From the 4 years we've built up, like, people will... come because it's LMS UK Media, and they'll go, they trust in us as a business that we've booked really good acts, which we put a lot of time to listening, going to shows, doing stuff to book the best artists. So I want people to know, if you're coming to an LMS UK Media show, it's going to be a good one. Come see what it's about. You know, our old name, local music scene, LMS, you know, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to lose that. So if I'm doing huge national tours, and I was speaking to my team about this the other day,
yeah.
I still want us to put the same effort in if I booked a huge act, let's say Arctic Monkeys, all the arenas up and down the UK, I'd put a lot of time and effort finding support acts from each city to play.
Wow.
Because those are the people that deserve that opportunity.
And that's where it started.
Yeah, that's our core values.
Local scene. Man, I love that. I love that a lot. Do you want to quickly plug in any details about yourself and your business?
We've got a show coming up on the 2nd of December with an artist called Deeps. Doesn't play Portsmouth very much. It's his first headline show here. It's looking like a sellout anyway. If you are hearing this, tickets are £10. Well worth coming to see. It's R&B, which doesn't happen a lot in Portsmouth, from Portsmouth artists.
Okay.
And he's got special guests, Baby Panda and One Forever.
Nice.
On December 2nd, 7 p.m. at Portsmouth Guildhall. You will not be disappointed.
Jeez.
This is, for me, the show I've been most excited for all year.
Wow.
So to finish 2019 with this, it's going to be something special. We're putting a lot of effort into it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. And how can they find you or your business?
LMS UK Media. We're on all socials. We post regularly with music content about our shows, other shows. It's well worth following us and keeping up to date, really. And any ideas or anything you want to speak to me about or my business, please get in contact, because we're always welcoming with that.
Love that. Yeah, guys, this guy is no joke. He is actually the real deal. I've seen it here face to face. It's been your boy, Izzy. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for coming on the show as well.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
See you guys later.